So Advent is a time where we try to refurbish that most quiet, most subtle, even most recessive of the great virtues, which is hope. So during the Sundays of Advent, I'd like to try to say something sensible to myself and to you about hope. And I begin with something that I've offered every year, this somewhat barbaric definition, which is, however, like a lot of academic barbarism, is very thorough and useful if you look at it very carefully. So hope is the positive non-acceptance of the unfulfilled present. The positive non-acceptance of the unfulfilled present. So today, I would like to look at the linchpin of that phrase, which is the unfulfilled present. Which means that we have to have a sense of unfulfillment. There has to be a consciousness that something is not as it should be, that something is missing, that life, world, reality is not as it's supposed to be. What is it supposed to be? Well, we know that at least in broad outline, it is the kingdom of God. It is our capacity to be aware of all the people on the earth, present, past, who lived and died and with whom our own destiny is absolutely intimately connected. Very large order. What militates against that? And this is what I'd like to concentrate on, the impediments to hope. Over the 4 weeks of Advent, I hope to make some reasonable, helpful suggestion about that. And I'd like to suggest at the beginning that one of the biggest impediments to hope is our busyness. Our busyness. Now, we in North America, I think, are mesmerized by the notions of efficiency and productivity and if we're not being productive or efficient, I think there's a real sense of guilt and deficiency, that something has gone awry. But then the question arises, about what are we busy? And this is where the matter of the unfulfilled present, I think, seems to recede further and further into the background, because the immediacy of our jobs, or our agenda, or our Blackberries, or our iPods, or computers, or whatever, all these things that make demands on us, they absorb all our energy, all of our attention, that is. And it's very hard to even imagine the possibility of an unfulfilled present. Because the present seems, if anything, too full. To be aware of the unfulfilled present means we take time, distance from the immediate sphere of our busyness. Because if we don't do that, there's no possibility at all of hope, of real hope. I mean, there may be a sense of optimism. Well, I can do it, by God. I'm going to exert myself fully in this particular job, at this particular time, at this particular place. That's not hope. That's not hope. And the other problem with that kind of busyness is that often enough our energies are expended in precisely a maintenance of the status quo. Of things as they are. I mean, there's already a pre-existent structure. There's a place where I fit, where my job and my job description operates, and that's what I need to attend to. And again, this large, large vista of the unfulfilled present recedes even further and further away from us. Our lives are supposed to be lived in a state of real tension. I mean, that's what hope is about. The unfulfilled present. But at least in my case, and from what I can see of most of the world that I inhabit, we're so industrious, you know, so anxious about getting the job done and knowing exactly what the job to be done is. It is very hard to think beyond that, to think larger thoughts. Above all, to open oneself to the power of God that will illumine the precise unfulfilledness of our world. But until that notion of the unfulfilled present is deeply, deeply embedded in our hearts and our vision and our souls, there's not going to be much opportunity for the development of real hope. But that's what God's calling us to. And finally, as always, hope is a liberation. Max Weber talked about the iron cage. The iron cage, speaking of bureaucracies. And that's exactly, to extend the metaphor, that's exactly what I think we're all in danger of being trapped in. The iron cage of the present, and the present's demands, and the present's expectations, and the present's requirements. So this glorious, massive, unimaginable future, which stands in tension, which precisely creates the tension of the unfulfilled present, just disappears. But if we are open to that, that is liberation. That is freedom. That's movement into the mystery of God.